Hear now the word of the Lord from Mark 3, 7 through 12. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan, and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him, for he had healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God!" But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Have you noticed here in the setup of the story, here in the long introduction to the Gospel of Mark, not just this story that we have read, but the entire setup, that Jesus keeps telling everyone to keep quiet about things that are impossible to keep quiet about? It's like telling a teenager in love who just wants to shout it from the rooftops, "Oh, but don't tell anyone." And this is the last setup story before we get to the major big idea in the Gospel of Mark that begins creating this ministering community, that begins seeing the big story as more than a big story, but a way of life. As we meet Jesus in this final setup story, a large crowd follows him. But Jesus has to find a boat, because the crowds have pushed in so much that apparently he cannot even stand still. But then, in an even stranger twist, Jesus tells the impure spirits not to say anything, because why? He's obviously not afraid about word getting out, because word is already out. There's no more secret. The text just told us that people are coming all over the place from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, across the Jordan, Tyre and Sidon. They're coming from everywhere. Word is out. So why this? What is going on in this mysterious, strange final setup of the story? This is, after all, a transition story. This is the end of the beginning. It takes us from all the introductions when we meet Jesus and his befuddled followers, watchers, stalkers, and general admirers, along with the toll booth trolls and lepers and stinking fishermen and sick mothers-in-law and roof-invading paralytics. And then the story shifts to this major big idea. This major big idea in the Gospel of Mark that starts taking all of these people, all these random, this completely random assortment of people, and start shaping a community created for the very purpose of ministering to trolls and lepers and fishermen and mothers-in-law and paralytics. But how are we going to set up this ministering community if Jesus keeps telling everyone to keep quiet? Well, the answer to that question is what Mark was up to when writing the Gospel of Mark. Mark is a story. It is, as some have written, a biography. And in the first couple of chapters, we meet the main character, none other than Jesus. the Son of God. As one writer wrote, and I sure like the sound of this, Mark is stressing in his gospel that Jesus is the divine Son of God, for whom even the powers of darkness are no match. That sounds good. Mark is stressing in his gospel that Jesus is the divine Son of God, for whom even the powers of darkness are no match. But Mark presents us with a problem. And it is the ongoing problem of having Jesus among us. The people are chasing Jesus. They are after him. They think he's magic. And if they can just get near enough to shout their requests, Jesus will grant all their wishes and all their dreams will come true. What about you? Why are you after Jesus? Because here's the thing. Worldly things are temporary. Worldly concerns are temporary. Even physical healing is temporary. But Jesus did not even have time to tell such truths before word spread too quickly about the healing, so much so that the things he came to say got lost in the shuffle. Right here still at the beginning of the story. Jesus as healer, yes, but not just that. So much more. This Jesus you seek today, as you find yourself here on this Sunday morning, this Jesus you seek offers more than temporary healing. Jesus is the Son of God, the coming of God into this world to this day, for whom even the powers of darkness are no match. Maybe the biggest leap of faith we are invited to make today, as we meet Jesus here still at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, is to just believe that. That's the biggest leap of faith perhaps we could make today. It's just, do you believe that? That up against the witness of our ministering community here at Bering, the powers of darkness are no match. We forget that sometimes. As we get used to church, and doing all the tasks, and going to all the meetings, and vacuuming all the carpets. And then we watch the news 8 days a week that advertise the powers of darkness as though we should choose them. Even celebrate them, because the darknesses will do for us what we want. Or so they promise. They offer temporary satisfaction to ease our anxieties and pay our electric bills. But here at the end of the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, we're confronted with a choice. And you can say no if you want to. The Gospel of Mark is littered with people who said no. You can say no if you choose. That's part of the story. You can walk away. You can hope for a temporary fix. But when Jesus says, come follow me, what Jesus offers us is a way, especially because he is the Son of God, for whom the powers of darkness are no match. Because by the time we reach the middle of Mark 3, where we are being called to create together, creating a ministering community together, the best of best news is not only that Jesus is the Son of God, but that as that news hits your ears, the best of best news is that you are not alone. Being called to create alongside Jesus, the ministering community of Jesus reminds us that we are not called to believe and follow by ourselves. Because if the powers of darkness in this world have prospered at offering the darkest news of all time up to this point, it is the darkest of dark lie that you are alone. Maybe that's why Jesus doesn't want the impure spirit saying, "You are the Son of God." Because right after they say that, they turn to the audience, a.k.a. us, and look us dead in the eyes and say, "But you are alone. You're the Son of God, but you are alone. You're the Son of God, but you are alone." Liars, 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 liars. The dark powers that be in the world are naming Jesus, but not out of commitment, but rather out of a common desire to use Jesus to get what they want. And the thing about it is, it's kind of always been that way. People running after Jesus. "Here, Jesus, will you just do this one thing for me? And I promise, you know, I'll never do that again. Just this one thing." And so we chase after Jesus. "Jesus, can you hear me? I just did this one favor I need to ask you." And we keep chasing Jesus, saying, "I just need this one thing." And what the Gospel of Mark teaches us right here at the beginning of the story, and keep in mind, Jesus hasn't even started calling the disciples yet. I mean, think about how much has happened in the first 2.5 chapters of the Gospel of Mark. And we haven't really started meeting anybody but Levi and a couple of others. He hasn't really started calling everybody yet. All of these things are happening. And everybody is chasing after Jesus, saying, "We just need you to do this one thing." And what Mark is trying to teach us is, if you're going to really go follow Jesus, it's going to cost you. It's not about what you're going to get out of it. Are you going to get something out of it? Yeah. You're going to get out of it the promise that this Jesus that you follow, the dark powers that be, they're no match for Jesus. But that's not what this is about. Is about just getting Jesus to do our bidding. It's about following, and just like 2.5 chapters into the Gospel of Mark, ready for this? You don't know what's going to happen next. And every time something happens, the disciples look at each other and say, "What just happened?" Kind of like our lives. We follow Jesus and we run after Jesus and we say, "Can you hear me, Jesus? What are you talking about? Can you hear me, Jesus? What did you just do? I don't understand. I don't understand what you just did." I mean, does that sound familiar to what real life is like? I'm trying to follow Jesus. I don't understand anything he says, but I'm following him. I don't understand what he does, but I'm following him. Because every time we hear Jesus say something and every time we see Jesus do something, at least we can come in here together and say, "The world is no match for this Jesus." What do you mean? I don't know, but I know that the world is no match for this Jesus. Setting up this ministering community means that Jesus is so much about the business of healing that is what Jesus came to be known for, but his first priority, and he tells us this right from the beginning. You know what his first priority was? To come preach, to come tell the story, to come tell the truth, to come tell the truth to a world. But you probably noticed this, desperate people tend to notice when you do things that relieve their desperation. Once upon a time, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from all over the place. But Jesus was crowded on every side by people who wanted to use him. Therefore, He took those that were already following him and said, "Go get me a boat." Because I have some things that I need to tell you. But wouldn't you know it, before Jesus could get that many words out of his mouth, some bad guys showed up and started heckling Jesus with the truth. Don't you think that's odd? That the hecklers were heckling Jesus with the truth? But the truth just sounds off when it's confessed by liars. It just feels off. And so Jesus, right here at the beginning of the story and what is about to come next with all the rest of the callings and commitments and everything that we're about to face in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus takes the truth and hands it over to us, to those of us who have just been told by the bad guys, "You're alone." Jesus says, "No, you're not. And the way I'm going to show you you're not alone is I'm going to create a community of people whose job is going to be to go into the world and tell the entire world, 'No, you're not. You're not alone. You're not by yourselves.' The world's going to tell you that every single day, and it's not true. And you're going to go through wars, but that's not the truth. And you're going to go through all kinds of divisions, and you're going to go through pandemics that convince you, absolutely convince you, that you're by yourself, that you're alone. But the Gospel of Mark is the gospel story that comes in here even after all this time and says, 'No, you're not. You're not.'" And this is where we come into the story. Here in chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, I'd like for you to meet us. This is about our calling. Our mission is to keep telling the truth and to do so together. We too go after Jesus, not for magic, but because of the promise. You are not alone. You are a part of the kingdom. And Jesus is the divine Son of God, for whom even the powers of darkness are no match. You are not alone. You are a part of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the divine Son of God, for whom even the powers of darkness are no match. Amen.